In a couple of weeks, I'm giving a talk to a group of people about living to be 120 and healthy. One of the concerns I had was, how do you take that topic and boil it down to something less than an hour? As you can imagine, thousands and thousands of books have been written on the various aspects of living to be 120 and healthy. Even though they don't talk about it in the terms of living to be 120 and healthy, we spend a lot of time trying to achieve things that are going to advance our lives in that direction. So I arrived at this topic, harmony, the secret sauce. I'm thinking, in order to live to be 120 and healthy, we've got to have a particular knack for creating harmony and being able to remedy disharmony. As I like to do, I turn to thefreedictionary.com for a definition. So I extracted three different definitions of harmony that were interesting to me. One is an orderly or pleasing combination of elements in a whole. It talks about color harmony or harmony of the universe or things fitting together. The second definition was a relationship in which various components exist together without destroying one another. That sounds like a good idea, right? For instance, different kinds of fish living in harmony. And then the third one was a relationship characterized by a lack of conflict or by agreement, as in the opinions or interests or family harmony. That makes sense to me. So we want more harmony in our lives. Most of us understand this idea that stress is a key component in so many diseases and illnesses and human suffering. Some people believe it's 99% of illnesses are directly impacted by stress. Other people say, well, maybe 85 or 90%. But whichever number you choose to relate to, stress is a killer, and stress is disharmony. So what is it? Well, the textbook definition says that stress is a nonspecific response to a demand placed upon the body. Another way of saying that is disharmony or stress is a discrepancy between what is and what is demanded. And demanded is in quotes. Could be a desire, could be a responsibility, a role, a chore, a duty, a wish. Whole bunch of definitions of demands that are different than what we're currently experiencing. I think the fact is, scientists would agree with this idea, that harmony, that is, balance, or homeostasis, is naturally sought. So human beings naturally seek harmony. I think at an early age we compare conditions, in which in that comparison it makes the differences in those conditions very obvious to us, and then we take steps to reduce the differences that we've now become aware of. I was thinking of this with regard to my family. I'm number 5 out of 7 children, so I often refer to my 3 older sisters or my older brother or my younger sister or my younger brother. And you could go, there I was being born. My older brother, who is the 4th child born, is 2.5 years older than I am. So I'm an infant, a newborn. He's 2.5 years older than I am. It seems very obvious to infants that we process information and we notice all these big people on the outside of the crib and we're on the inside of the crib. So here is this huge 2.5-year-old boy and my sisters who are 4 or 6 or 8 years old and my parents who are older still and larger are going, wow, there's a discrepancy here. In order for me to be like them, which is a natural human impulse, to be like them, to fit in, to belong, I need to increase my size. And there we have it. As we imagine these differences, not only in that scenario, but in a lot of different scenarios, we see somebody who has something or is doing something or is being something that we're not, we immediately notice that. And our imagination says, no, we got to do something about that. We try to reduce, in a lot of different ways, that gap, that difference between what is and what we now have imagined is the desirable that has been modeled by other people who are older, bigger, more accomplished in one way or another. So the idea that we talk about homeostasis, and that's just another word to label harmony, the balance of energy. We know that osmosis is a physical process that occurs where chemical solutions, one side of a semi-permeable membrane, will try to arrive at a balance where the solutions are equal in electrical capability on both sides of that membrane. We play on seesaws because we go out of balance, in balance, out of balance, in balance, out, and it's pretty much natural to us. I think when you really look at it, all of life's activities are founded on this idea of harmony and attempts to achieve it, even though we may have tremendously different opinions about what harmony really is. Think of this. Crimes are a representation of somebody's attempt to get into harmony. Let's take this proverbial situation where a man steals bread to feed his family. Stealing bread to feed a family is a person's attempt to get back in harmony. Because ideally, we would think hungry children equals disharmony. We've got to do something about it. So in that scenario that has been publicized over the years, the man in the Mideast who steals a loaf of bread, feeds his children, it's like, oh, now my children have reduced the disharmony. The hunger has dissipated. However, that's a crime. That's a crime. And so what is the punishment? The punishment is somebody saying, you know what? You know what? Harmony is when I have the bread and nobody steals it. I keep it. I can sell it, or I can eat it, or I can even throw it away. But disharmony is somebody stealing my bread. I cannot allow this form of disharmony, so I have to punish it. And what they do is they chop this guy's hand off as discouragement to other people who were thinking that if you want to feed your hungry family, stealing somebody else's bread, especially a powerful person's bread, is not okay. That person is going to see that as disharmony, and in order to get harmony, they're going to punish you severely. You go, yikes. When you look at rewards, people competing in sales environments and other environments and races and horse races that occurred yesterday and all kinds of different human activities, rewards are, I see the reward, I see this, I could win the trophy, I could win the race, I could win the tournament, I could win the game, I could win the fill in the blank, and I currently don't have that. So what is I have not yet achieved that. And the only way to get into harmony is, of course, to successfully compete and win whatever that tournament happens to be, whatever that competition happens to be. Cops and robbers. This is a thing that has struck me for years and years. You turn on television nowadays, and you see, okay, what's on network TV? It's like, oh, crime, 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 right? So look at a robber. There's a robber who is, I don't have enough money. I got to go take it from a bank or a convenience store or someplace else. I've got to steal it. And then the cops come along in this fictitious model and said, that guy created disharmony by doing that. That's against the rules. And now we have to catch him. send him into a court of law, and where he will probably be found guilty, and then balance will be restored. We'll put him in a prison there. That's balance. We're back in harmony. Well, I don't think so, but we pretend that that's what we're doing. You look at spy movies, there's a good guy and a bad guy, and they're trying to fight for more control, which they think, in both of those cases, is if I have more control, I'm going to be more harmonious to the image that I've created in my own mind. And the good guy, this theory, spy, says, No, we can't allow that guy to have more control. His version of harmony is disharmonious for the great majority of us good guys. And so that's what happens. Sporting games and work relationships, any relationships, we're trying to achieve harmony. Health. What is health but a symptom of harmony? What is illness? A symptom of disharmony, right? The energy doesn't flow. It's not balanced. It's not moving freely. It's being blocked or inhibited or some other way. It is being distorted. And you go, We could say that success is an indication of harmony, but it's not necessarily true across a spectrum of people. One person's version of success is having all the money. It's like, well, wait a minute. Most people are not going to agree with you having all the money and us having none of the money. And that's basically the political economic battle that goes on everywhere. And it's pretty intense here in the United States at this point. And you just think of that. Why do we eat? Just habits like eating. What are we trying to do? I'm hungry. Yep. And now what? Oh, I'm going to eat and then I'm going to feel more harmonious. I'm going to be more relaxed. I'm going to be safer. I'm going to be more content, more comfortable. Yep. And we do it with drinking. We do it with a lot of things. And people choose, even people who are sitting outside or standing outside in cold, rainy weather outside of corporate buildings smoking cigarettes, they think they are achieving harmony by doing that particular activity. You go, Others of us who have given up on that habit, when we see those people standing out there in the cold and they're shivering and smoking and, you know, compulsively inhaling, you go, wow, that's not harmonious to us any longer. We don't want to play that. I was thinking yesterday when I was going from point A to point B that one of the big conflicts going on in the United States from a political standpoint is one group of people screaming that government is the enemy. Government is the enemy. And other people going, well, no. Government is good. I can take advantage of the government. And other people say, no, government is the kind of referee to the playing field of life in our society, and it makes things more or less fair, so it's a good thing. I was standing at a gas pump filling the gas tank of a rental car, and I noticed there's a sticker on the gas pump. I've been seeing this for years, and you have too. It's this pump is certified by some department in Florida, Agriculture and Customer Service or something like that, that it is actually pumping 1 gallon of gas when it says it's pumping 1 gallon of gas and I'm being charged for 1 gallon of gas. Now you go, why do I need a governmental agency to verify that this gas pump is calibrated correctly, so it's not cheating me? Because corporations have gamed those pieces of equipment in the past where people were paying for a gallon of gas and getting 9/10 of a gallon. And you go, so government in a case like that? Good idea. When I was driving out of this parking area at the gas station, I noticed there's a sign that says, stop, right turn only. Guess who put those there? the government. The government put those there because, guess what? Somebody turning left or not stopping at that entrance into the road is going to create disharmony by driving in a wrong direction. That would be significant disharmony. So you go, presumably, that's what laws are designed to do, to create more harmony. Drive through a school zone at 15 miles an hour? Why? Because the likelihood is if you go through at 50 miles an hour or 70 miles an hour, you're going to create a lot of disharmony. Oh, can't have that. Can't have that. Underlying all of this, the fact that we naturally seek harmony, what controls what is happening? Our consciousness does. It determines what we seek as a means to harmonize. Some people go, I'm imbalanced, I'm anxious, I'm this, I'm that, but I'm definitely not harmonious. What am I going to do? Some of us go to work. Some of us use alcohol. Some of us study and read. I need more information. I need take in more information, so that'll make me harmonious. Some people use drugs. Some people will resort to other people's help, coaching or therapists or advisors or even Googling. You know, I need help. I don't understand this concept. I used, in order to get harmony about the definition of harmony, I went to thefreedictionary.com. It's like, okay, this is what we do. Our consciousness also determines our approach to these fundamental conflicts, this sense of abandonment that we have from being born, and this need to connect. But I don't want to be so connected that I'm a Siamese twin. I want to be independent. No, I want to be connected. No, I want to be loved. No, I want to be separate. That is a real pull and push that is going on in all of us. We want to be connected, and we want to be separate. And guess what? We want to do it on our own terms, which is oftentimes very different from the terms that are envisioned by other people in a relationship. It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And then we deal with this idea of insecurity and safety. How do we, I'm insecure. What do I do? Read more, study more, get more degrees. Do I get a gun? Do I get some sort of alarm system for my house? How do I maintain my safety? How do I do that? How do I overcome this feeling of insecurity? Martial arts, carry a stick, carry mace in my purse, okay. All kinds of ways that we approach those areas. And this idea of loss of privacy, which is thought to be one of the other things that occurs when we're born into physical form, this loss of privacy. So I want to be private, I want to be secluded, I want to be protected. But then you can't see me, you can't hear me, you can't feel me, I can't interact with you. So now I've got this conflict. I want my privacy, and I want to put myself out there. Those things are mutually exclusive. I want to be world famous, and I want to be a hermit. That's a problem. And so how do we deal with that? Well, our consciousness is going to lead us in one direction, and we can feel that when we bump into things that hold us back. I want to be put out. I want to express myself more. No, be quiet. I want to express myself. No, be quiet. And you go, I got to overcome that stuff. And our consciousness is going to determine how deeply and how widely we even consider this concept of harmony. What does it mean? What does it mean? Is it to be harmonious with who we are, who we be, what we do, what we have, other people in our lives? Or we just, if I'm not in pain, I'm okay. That's comfortable enough for me. I was having lunch on Friday at a restaurant before we headed to the airport, and we're ogling a 332-foot boat of a billionaire. And the guy, the bartender, is looking at this and going, I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be comfortable so I can retire someday. That's and he's a young man, I guess probably somewhere 30, 35. And that's his aspiration. And, of course, everybody has differences in those ideas, and those things change from, if not day to day, at least year to year. We go, okay, this is my new version of harmony now. Our consciousness shapes how we relate to what I call the energy model of life. How we acquire energy, how we preserve energy, how we translate energy, how we express energy, how we release energy, and how we get a sense of closure from these processes. It was interesting to me. I took a photo of that boat that I just made mention of, and I looked it up on Google to find out who owned it and some other data about it. And it said it was a safe, self-made billionaire. Self-made billionaire. I'm going, self-made? You're kidding me, right? Self-made? He did this on an island all by himself with nobody else involved? Wow, that's interesting. And so I looked him up. And this is that version of self-made billionaire. He bought a $30,000 piece of equipment, like an excavator or a caterpillar or something or other, and then he got a highway contract in his state. And after that, he bankrolled that into money. So a highway contract, guess what that is? That's a governmental award to him. He got a government, state or federal or both, to pay him to do something on the highway. And guess what? That money came from taxpayers. So everybody else was funding his self-made billions. Like, oh. And when you look at it, it's like everybody wants to be nursing on the breast of the government, except when it's time to scream, the government is terrible, the government is terrible, the government is terrible. When government levels the playing field, you and I would think that's creating harmony. When other people see it leveling the playing field, it is disharmonious with their expectations, with their view of how the game should be played. They want rigged. Rigged equals harmony for them. And to us, that would equal disharmony. Our consciousnesses also will tell us what to buy and what to sell. It will be the defining factor. It's like, why am I going to buy lunch in an hour with my wife, daughter, and granddaughter? Because I'm going to create more harmony. I'm going to create more harmony. We're all going to be hungry. This is their favorite place. And we buy stuff because we think it's going to create a sense of harmony for us. Where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong with this stuff? You look at the world and you go, whoa, if harmony is what we naturally seek, can you explain to me why we are at war in families, in relationships, in work, in politics, in races and countries and religions and on and on and on and on, all over the world? All this conflict. Well, where do we invest our energies? That's where we go wrong. There we go wrong. If you turn around and say, wait a minute, conflicts and upset, where do they come from? Well, I like this idea. They come from expectations, intentions, and communication. If you want to have a conflict, you're going to be zeroing in on one or more of these areas. So if you've got expectations about how somebody else ought to behave, you're going to end up with unfulfilled expectations. And now you're in disharmony. It's like, I thought he or she was going to do X, and they ended up doing A or B or C or nothing at all. And that is really, really upsetting. When you look at what you and I are trying to do, that's our intentions. When I want to make people happy and they end up hating you, you go, well, my intentions were thwarted. I thought I was being kind, but in fact, I was interfering with somebody else's freedom. Oh. So we have thwarted intentions. And then it's like, communication. I need to say this. No, I'm not going to say it. It's too risky. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to tell people my truth. I'm not going to express who I really am. That's a problem. And in situations, and we're all familiar with these, when we communicate and both we refuse to hear it, we don't receive communication, or the other people that we're communicating with don't receive it, either because of differences in emotional states or their intentions or their expectations. They're like, I don't get it. I don't get your point of view at all. Boom. And then we have conflicts. It's very easy to see when you've got two people, you've got differences of opinion. And that difference is based upon all kinds of experiences over the course of our lives. Like, what do we value? What do we value? And we value things that are going to make us feel like we're more in harmony. My wife Marianne and I drive from Florida to New York at the beginning of the summer to spend some time up there with in our original town with our remaining family members. And so the last time we were making this trip last summer, I bought some language courses: French, Italian, German, Polish, and Spanish. Now, I used to speak Spanish very well. Now, I use it so infrequently, it's very, very rusty. So this is my opinion. This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to listen to an hour of Spanish, followed by an hour of Italian, followed by an hour of French, followed by an hour of German, followed by an hour of Polish. And we would do that multiple times over these days that we were traveling. That lasted less than 2 hours. My wife had a distinctly different opinion about how fun that was. Like, you're going to make me jump out of this car window. I was like, okay, we'll stop. We also go wrong by refusing to consider that our beliefs are just beliefs. Just because we believe them doesn't make them good, doesn't make them accurate, doesn't make them valuable. It's just like, no. That's, I've used my beliefs, they're the ground I stand on, and please don't try to shake them. And so we defend those like crazy. Particularly religious or political beliefs. I mean, you're talking some serious conflicts when you have these things with people. And we defend this stuff like it's all good and holy, and it's all just made up, including religion. The fact that we think somewhere along the line that if I reject, I'm going to be safer and better off and more harmonious than if I bond with people, if I bond with somebody, if I connect to them, if I look for similarities. So we choose rejection. We push away. We look for things, dissimilarities, which, of course, you can find in any situation with any people, as much as you're willing to search for it. And when we magnify those differences to the point where we no longer can relate to that person, we go, if I continue rejecting, oops, wait a minute. Just because I reject, that doesn't mean what I want is going to naturally come to me, because we're splashing, we're pushing energy away all this time. We're pushing it away, including what we want. This idea where we go wrong is when we think we can control others through enforcement or inhibition. If I can inhibit somebody else's behavior, you can't go in there. You're the wrong race. You can't use that bathroom. You're the wrong race. And if you do, then we have to arrest you. Or, as is more common today, we have to shoot you because you're different. So we have to go through these real violent steps in order to deal with you. Controlling other people is not really effective. Only self-control is. And that's where we've gone wrong. So how can we go right? How can we go right? Well, I suggest that one of the things that we can do is be willing to think our own thoughts. That seems so fundamental to people who think, but it is so... What? I don't think that's allowed for people who are taught they have to obey, they have to believe, and not think. Don't think for yourself. That's how we can go right. Be willing to think for ourselves. Think our own thoughts. And I see the t-shirt from time to time, question authority, instead of just go along with it because it's set up. And if we will notice what is, right now, it's sunny where I am. There. It's sunny and warm. That's what is. If it were raining, I would notice it is raining. That's what is. Noticing what is, followed by accepting what is as existing. You can't say, oh, gee, I wanted it to rain today because we didn't have enough water in our pond, or, I didn't want it to rain because I wanted to go outside and sunbathe. But if we can accept it, that it exists, it may not be what our preference is, but we accept that it exists. There is no way to win a war where we battle what is. Because what is. And I hear people battling what was. They want to battle the weather yesterday. Like, your chances of getting yesterday's weather to change? Kind of slim. But next, after accepting what is as existing, it's then, with our thoughts and feelings, we reach out for what we prefer. What do we prefer? We don't have to battle what is. It's just, okay, what is. Now, let me see. What do I prefer? And it is in the creation, through reaching out in thought and feeling for what we prefer, is how we can start to go right. I love the law of cause and effect. I think it is simple, and it's just, and it makes the game fair. And if we can realize that destruction actually returns to the destroyers, these people who think they can destroy, it's like, wow, I'm impervious to any kind of consequences from my destruction. No. The law of cause and effect says that is not so. That is going to come back to you as a harvest. And if you understand that, you go, you know what? In order to go right, I think I'm going to be a little bit more judicious about what it is I cause. Creating stuff seems to be a higher vision than destroying stuff and destroying people. The idea that we can go right if we were to just search for a higher view of ourselves and then work to harmonize with it. We want to create effects. Human beings want to create effects. And if you know that, when you just watch a little child make noise or hit pots with a wooden spoon or splash in the water when they're taking a bath or doing any number of things, they are intrigued and fascinated with the effects that they are causing. Even adults, you know, you go to topographical area or geological area where you can create an echo, right? I'm on this hill and on this mountaintop, and I'm going to yell into the canyon. hello, and they go, hello, hello, hello. That is fascinating, to be able to create that sort of thing. We do it as children, we do it as adults. We want to cause effect. But what kind of effects? The other day, Friday actually, my wife Marianne is buying a few gifts in a store, and there's one woman at the counter who was delaying things. And at one point, she could see that I literally had to walk out of the store. I became so impatient with that one person. And that one person said to the cashier, slow down, they can wait. And then when that person left, the cashier said, I am so sorry for keeping... I didn't know what to do with that woman. And I thought, that woman wanted to cause an effect. But the highest view she could get is to make another person wait. In this case, it was a black person making a white person wait. A black woman making a white woman wait. That's, wow, there's power. There's a desirable result I just caused. You go, whoa. You would wish somebody would have a higher view of themselves than to be an impediment to somebody else's progress. So how, besides those things, can we go right? Well, frankly, how about we establish some habits that increase harmony in our own lives? Simple enough to list them, not so simple to incorporate them into the way we live our lives. Prayer. Oh, meditation. I journal daily. It is hugely important for me to get back into balance. Exercise. Move that energy. Get the balance of the energy in your body. It's like, this is harmony. This is harmony. That's a good idea. And when we think of diets and, you know, the way we eat and the way we drink, have enough rest and how we move our bodies and the level of alkalinity versus acidity in our body, otherwise known as the pH, you go, all of this stuff helps us increase harmony in our lives. But the intention to keep growing, instead of settling, instead of protecting what we have as this is all we can get, or we choose these lower vibration effects that we think we can cause, and in fact strive to keep growing in our awareness of what is possible with our potential spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and so on. And ultimately, what we really want to do is lighten up. If we lighten up, we reduce resistance. If we lighten up, energy flows better. It is when we're tightened up and rigid and inflexible and self-protective, we prevent the energy flow that is absolutely essential to the creation of harmony in our lives. Harmony is the secret sauce to living to be 120 and healthy. Frankly, it's the secret sauce to living to be happy at any age for any length of time in any situation. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8. In Christ Returns, reveals startling truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence. which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.